You're listening to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball with Nathan Dawkin.
I don't want anybody talking to me while they're making me a salad.
Van Lee.
Please direct all bar mitzvah inquiries to DJ LeMahieu.
And Ron Rigney.
I'm going to do my best to make sure that this podcast does not resemble a giant crap in the street. Okay, so, you know, looking through, you know, the subject of your of our podcast this week is going to be the much awaited Nathan Dawkin top 100 prospect list for 2018. And so, yes, sir. And so in my astute research breaking down this list, what I was able to do was I was able to put together a six person all Sean Connery team. And so I think that's important for listeners to know. As they know, we have an affinity for our boy Sean Connery, who has been the star of many blockbuster movies, such as Zardoz.
Zardoz. And so Dragon Quest or Heart or something. Dragon. I don't know. Egg. Dragon whatever. Fart. Dragon Fart. I like that one, too. Yeah.
That's a
well, I've
that's
been farting this whole movie. So so what are some names on this list? Give us a little bit of a teaser.
Well, I'll give you a couple. Of course, you know there's always Scott Kingery, who's on the list.
Oh yeah.
And then you're the man now, Long, our boy Shedrick Long.
Shedrick Long.
Shedrick Long. And then I'm gonna add a new one here. We're gonna do a couple here, and I'll maybe save a few for later on. I think we're gonna go this one here. It's gonna be one that we'll talk about. I think we'll get to tonight. Ryan Mountcastle.
Ooh, good one. That's sneaky, yeah, but I like call. It. Yeah. Mr. Mountcastle.
Mr. Mountcastle. Miss Moneypenny. So there you go. That was like I said, I devoted probably an hour of my research to that.
So, I know you don't
hard hitting stuff, ahead. So you know.
Yeah. You slipped into a little bit of Sir Davos there. I don't know if you don't watch the Game of Thrones, I know, but
yeah, he had a little bit. It's kind of stuck in there, so but you're right. Okay. I'll agree with that one.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. So what better way to lead into episode 29 than such a glorious list as that? The world needs more Sean Connery. This is episode 29 of Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. Everybody, welcome in. This is the top 100 show, the long-awaited, highly anticipated. Neither of those are true. But anyway, I'm Nathan Dawkin. You can follow me on Twitter at Nathan Dawkin, of course, joined by Van Lee.
I think it's long awaited. I mean, this is a dynasty-centric podcast, and what's more exciting to dynasty players than a first-year player draft? And that includes a lot of top 100 prospects, or basically just the most important part of dynasty is who's the next guy? Who's the next Mike Trout? Who's the next Clayton Kershaw? And I think maybe we'll take a look and see who could be the next X player. So I'm excited anyway.
Who is the next Clayton Kershaw, Ron Rigney? Huh? Tell us.
Could it be Scott Kingery? No, he doesn't pitch.
Shoot.
I guess you're just going to have to tune into this list and listen to what we're breaking down here. So I can't give it away yet.
Cool. So as far as like finding this list published anywhere, I don't know. I could perhaps link to the Google sheet that I have it on if anybody's interested. Otherwise, I do believe there's going to be something coming out on Fantrax in the coming weeks, excuse me, regarding it. So if nothing else, you can see it then. But we're going to talk about it now. We're going to list everybody off, and we're going to start from the bottom. Am I right?
We are. And just a quick note, too. I think another good thing we could do with this is put it with our guides, which we are giving away via our Patreon account. And we're going to go ahead and announce it for this show as well. Basically, we started a Patreon account primarily for the Nasty Cast, which is our sister podcast, because it's a lot of work to do all this. And we think if there are people out there who think we deserve a buck here and there, then please go donate to us. So it's going to be based on Nasty Cast. So it's patreon.com/nastypod. But I'll be giving away awards to all kinds of stuff. Right now, we're doing positional rankings for mostly redraft leagues as special episodes, and you get early access to those. You're going to get, if you donate anything, just a dollar, whatever it may be, everybody gets a copy of a guide that we're making, which is our nasty guide. and it will have rankings, discussions on players, etc. And I think a really good thing we could do to that is add your top 100 list to it. And I'd like to make my own top 100 list. And maybe if old Ron here gets around to it, we could put them all in there. So that's another place you could probably find it, is just being a Patreon donor.
You're assuming I can count to 100 by myself.
That's true. Computers these days, they help.
That's true.
And another thing that we can bring on board to that is the top 10 farm system prospect list, which we haven't got through them all on this podcast yet, but I do have them pretty much all worked out. And so we could, you know, incorporate that as well. Obviously, a lot more prospects on there than we're going to see in the top 100. But as far as if you want to reach out to us, you can tweet us at FantraxDynasty. It's blowing up. Everybody's finding us out there. Love it. A lot of good things happening in the world of Fantrax these days. You can also follow Van at Manly Van Lee, and Ron is at The Real Made. Did I forget anything before we get into the list?
Nope, I don't think so. Real quick shout out to Ron Lewis and Ben Cook. I remember his last name. They're our first Patreon donors. So again, I just wanted to give a shout out to them and say thanks. And anybody who else who does go donate, we really appreciate it. So thank you again.
Indeed. I echo those statements wholeheartedly. So let's do it. Let's get into it. We're going to start from the bottom and work our way up. We're going to kind of do about 10 of these guys at a time and just sort of go over who stands out to us, if that pleases the court. We'll start off with Sandy Alcantara, or Alcantara, I suppose, as it's supposed to be pronounced, down at 100. At 99, I've got Tyler Molly. 98 is Max Fried. 97, I've got Corbin Burns. 96 is Garrett Hampson. I guess maybe I should say what position they play and what team they're with. Garrett Hampson is a shortstop with the Rockies. Burns with the Brewers, Fried with the Braves, Molly with the Reds, Alcantara with the Marlins. And then so back up at 95, I've got Nick Gordon, the shortstop with the Twins, Shed Long, the second baseman with the Reds, Shedrick Long. Number 93 is Bo Burrows, right-handed pitcher with the Tigers. 92, I've got Kyle Lewis, outfielder with the Mariners. And 91, Brandon Woodruff, old Woody, right-handed pitcher with the Brewers. So who stands out to you guys amongst that group?
Woody with Brandon. Actually, I want to go over a couple of guys here. Number one, Sandy Alcantara. I guess that's it now. At number 100, he feels like the guy that who's just the number 100 guy you wanted to put on here, simply because if he does make it as a starter, he'll be a worthwhile prospect. If he doesn't make it as a starter, he'll probably just be off of it. Max Fried is, in my opinion, a little low. I think he's going to end up having a pretty good career, but he's still a ways away, so I get it. And then I wanted to bring up Kyle Lewis for one reason, and that reason being the whole knee issue thing. And I think this is an accurate indication of where he should be ranked, because he is an elite style hitter. But because of how bad his knee injury was, and I personally can attest to that, that's what basically put an end to my entire life for a long time. It's you don't come back from it. So I don't think you ever see him steal a base. And maybe he's still a good hitter, but I don't think his durability is going to be all that great. And not only will he have nagging injuries throughout his career, I just don't think he ever really puts up full, you know, 155-game seasons. I think he's going to kind of slip a little bit. So even if he succeeds, he's not going to provide you a full season's value just because of how bad that knee injury was.
See, I'm still kind of in on Kyle Lewis. I do agree, though, that the knee it does derail a lot of stuff. I've messed up the knee as well, and I think that if he can stay healthy, I agree with you that the stolen bases might be something that could be a thing of the past. I do think he's a pretty good athlete, so I wouldn't necessarily rule it out just yet. But one of the things that I think that he might be able to do is I think the hit tool is good enough that he can kind of come back from that and showcase the power potential a little bit. And be a decent outfield prospect. I don't think he's going to be the guy for center field anymore because of that. I think he might get moved to a corner spot. But I think if he can showcase the hit tool, the other thing that gives me a little bit of reservation, but I do think he's ranked pretty fairly, is he is 22 and he's only at Class A. So that's a little bit of a red flag as well. Another guy that I like that I don't know necessarily, I think he's ranked pretty fairly. Maybe I kind of like Van alluded to, I might knock him up a couple of spots here, is Max Fried. And I think he is pretty close to where he should be, just for a simple fact that I think that the floor is pretty solid with him. I don't know how much front line starter potential that he's got, but you know, once again, you know, there's so many Braves on this list and so many Braves in this in the minors, you know, that can end up being traded for different pieces or brought up, and it seems like they're kind of one of those teams that grows on trees and brings them up, and they're just solid. So I think he's another guy that I like especially in a deeper league. He's a little bit of an older prospect, you know, he's had a couple of stints that, you know, that have kind of impressed the major league level. So I think overall, I think he's going to be a guy that gets called up, and I think he could be a guy definitely to target in deeper leagues to eat up some innings and give you some decent counting stats there, especially if he can keep up the K rate that he was able to keep up in the minors.
Very good. And as I'm listening to you guys, I think what I might do is just like tweet out a link to this so people can just look at it as a Google Doc. So if you want to look at these names, just check my Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And to touch on some of the guys that you mentioned, like Alcantara, yeah, I the only reason he's even on this list is because he got traded to the Marlins, and I think they try to leave him as a starter, you know, at least in the near term. If he was still with the Cardinals, he probably would have dropped off the list, because I'm pretty sure they would have just bumped him back to the bullpen. Nick Gordon, I'm surprised you guys didn't call him out as far as being a little bit low. Some lists still have him like in the 20s or 30s, but I honestly don't know how good he's really going to be. You know, sort of, he might just be like a utility guy, you know. I just don't think he gives you a ton of power or a ton of speed or a ton of batting average. You don't know if he's going to play shortstop or second base, you know, because I believe Dozier's contract is up after this year. I might be mistaken on that, but so anyway,
for what it's worth, he sounds, or he feels to me like Dansby Swanson light, you know, a guy who has a lot of ability, but is probably not going to hit a lot of homers, probably not going to steal a lot of bases, and the batting average, the OBP, is not going to be that great. I think he's a full-time player because his defense is good enough to do it, but I don't know that he's ultimately all that valuable in fantasy.
Well, and he's definitely not going to beat out Royce Lewis either for that spot.
No.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he has a good year or two before he has to worry about Lewis coming up. But I suppose we should move on. Where do we? 90. We've got Pabin Smith, first base prospect with the Diamondbacks. 89 is Harrison Bader, outfielder with the Cardinals. 88, Brent Rooker, first baseman with the Twins. And then I got back-to-back Twins here. I didn't even realize I did that. 87 is Steven Gonsalves, a lefty with the Twins. 86, Ryan Mountcastle, third baseman with the Orioles, / second baseman, I guess, depending on where they put him. Jesus Sanchez comes in at 85, outfielder with the Rays. Dane Dunning is number 84 with the right-handed pitcher with the White Sox. Fernando Romero, another Twin, don't call me a homer, number 83, right-handed pitcher with the Twins. 82, Blake Rutherford, outfielder with the Yankees. And 81, Dylan Cease, right-handed pitcher with the White Sox.
For me on this group, the two guys I really want to talk about are Harrison Bader and Jesus Sanchez. Bader, I think it's really important to know with the moves the Cardinals have made, I think he's probably going to end up with that fourth outfielder gig, because I don't know that they want Tyler O'Neill to be just a part-time guy, at least initially. So I think Bader actually has some opportunities to play today. This is about the right spot for him on a list, because I don't really believe a whole lot that there's a lot of talent there. But it's good enough that if you're drafting or playing in a league this year, you can probably get some value out of him, just because he's probably going to have a job. And with an injury, he could be a full-time starter. And then Jesus Sanchez is the best of this group, in my opinion. But he's so far away and so raw that there's a lot of things that could go down from here to there. He's got a ton of power. He's got quite a bit of speed. Doesn't strike out too much and doesn't walk a whole lot, but he's working on it. But again, a very, very young, raw, talented player at 20 years old that I think he's someone worth watching on. You could see him climb up these lists pretty quickly in the coming years. And then Blake Rutherford, I kind of wanted to say that this feels low, but I also agree, because I'm not that high on him, but I think you'd see him a lot higher in some other lists.
Yeah, I want to look at... first guy I want to look at is one of your guys, Nate, and I've talked about him a little bit before. I think I actually drafted him in our first-year player draft, is Brent Rooker. And, you know, he's a guy that I think adjusted pretty quickly. You know, we alluded to on the Nasty Cast a little bit. Lenny had a really, really solid point about the K rate as far as, you know, affecting certain things and how he's not really looking at it too much. But, we kind of said, too, I think, Van, you kind of made a good point as well. You know, when it gets about that 28, 29 range, 30 range, that's when you kind of have to look at it and pause a little bit, you know, because we talk every week about how, you know, 20 to 25 is kind of becoming the norm now. And, you know, Brent Rooker, that's the one knock on his game that I saw at the Class A level. Because, like I said, I was able to see him here in Fort Myers. I'm hoping he starts out here again, which I don't see why he wouldn't. But the defense stood out to be pretty solid at first base. I know there's talk of moving him to the outfield as well. Decent pop there, 11 homers in 40 games here. But the 29% K rate's got to come down a little bit. 364 OBP was pretty nice with the walk rate, so I like that. Another guy that I like a little bit here is Ryan Mountcastle with his third baseman. Still only 20 years old. He's still a little further away. I think he's going to be just kind of a solid guy overall. I don't know how much of a huge impact he's going to have. But I think that he's going to have a little, he's going to be okay. I think he can give you some 20 home run potential there, 25 home run potential, but he's going to have to adjust to that Double A pitching a little bit better. Only hit 222 there last year. But I think out of the two, I think Rooker's a guy that in a lot of expansion and first year drafts, the guy that I'm definitely going to target in some of my deeper leagues.
Absolutely. I'm definitely a big fan. So we'll move on to the next bunch, 80 to 71. Number 80, we've got Jake Bowers with your Rays run, first base prospect. And then another first base prospect right after that, number 79, Yordan Alvarez with the Astros. Alex Fedo at 78, right-hander with the Tigers. Miguel Andujar at 77, third baseman with the Yankees. Joey Wentz, a left-handed pitcher with the Braves at 76. Brendan McKay, another Ray, left-handed pitcher slash maybe hitter at 75. Jay Grom at 74, lefty with the Red Sox. Austin Meadows at 73, outfielder with the Pirates. Hunter Green at 72, the right-hander with the Reds. And number 71, Helio Ramos, outfielder with the Giants.
Yeah, and first off, Alex Fedo seems a little high for me. I know you like him a lot, and I don't really have any knocks against him. I think health is an issue. I probably would just have him lower on mine, but this isn't a great travesty to see him here. Brendan McKay, I think, is perfect because a lot of people, well, he was what, taken third overall in the draft or something like that. A lot of people think a guy taken third overall in the draft is instantly going to be one of your top 50 prospects. I just don't see it. I don't think he's that great of a hitter. And if he is a hitter, he's going to play first base. And if he's a pitcher, I don't think he's that great of a pitcher. He's maybe a number three pitcher or something along those lines. So I think this is a really perfect spot for him. And then the two other guys I want to ask you about are Hunter Green and Austin Meadows. Both guys seem low. I know you and I are both a little bit down on Hunter Green just because of the time it'll take for him to get there and whether or not he really has ace upside. But Austin Meadows is a guy that people are projected as, you know, a 70 grade player once he gets into his self. So why so low on both of those guys?
Austin Meadows, I've really, I don't know, never been a huge fan, and he just had a really rough year. Took a big step back. I don't know if I can pull up his stats here real quick. Yeah, 250 at AAA, 72 games. He got hurt as well, and he's kind of had some nagging injuries throughout his career, so there's a knock on him there. Didn't hit for any power at all, just a 109 ISO. And so you combine that with, you know, never really being that high on him and coming off another down year. I'm just not over the moon for him, so I have him a little bit lower. Who's the other guy that you asked about?
Hunter Green. Because again, you and I, this is where I like him. I agree with you here, but I think this is against the consensus. So I just want to hear your opinion on it.
It's just all projection with him, and it's just such a damn long wait because he's got to develop his off-speed pitches yet. It's just all projection. He's got just the fastball, and to be perfectly honest, like, you know, the fastball, okay, it can touch triple digits, but that seems to be one of the biggest precursors for injury for Tommy John. So I kind of have that lurking in the back of my mind as well. Like, okay, maybe this guy ends up having injury concerns. Maybe he's just a reliever in the long run. There's just so much that can happen with an 18-year-old through the 4 or 5 year process before he comes up to the big leagues. So I'm just a little bit, you know, obviously the upside is there. I don't deny that. I just am a little bit more cautious with such a young pitching prospect.
So
anything else for you, Ron?
Well, in that group, the thing that jumps out to me with Austin Meadows when I was looking at his stats is just the free fall that he's had from being, I don't know if he was ever in the top 10. I know he was up there towards the top a few years ago, and he's steadily fallen, you know, every year since then. And it makes me just kind of wonder, I was starting to think about just the Pirates organization in general and all of these hype prospects that they have that turn out to be okay or not, you know, below average. And I was trying to think of the last guy that they really hit on, and correct me if I'm wrong, but has there been a prospect that they've brought up that's lived up to the hype since Andrew McCutchen
that you can think of? Garrett Cole. I mean,
I guess
he lived up to the hype.
I guess that's true. Yeah. But even so, it seems like to me that the projection for him was just like frontline ace material. And you had, you know, Gregory Polanco.
Yeah.
Starling Marte and these guys that come up, and it just seems like I don't know what it is. Maybe if it's some with their development, maybe it's bad luck. I don't know what it is, but that was something I kind of thought about with him. Another guy that ever since we've kind of talked about him, you know, when we first started breaking down the different systems and talking about some of these guys, is Helio Ramos is a guy that, even though he's only 18, I really am starting to really like the tools. You know, the 60 run tool, the power's at 55, and I know this is rookie ball, but swipe 10 bags, hit 6 homers in 35 games, .348 average. So I think if you're able to stash him for a little while, I don't think he's going to be coming up all that soon. But I think just with the lack of quality prospects in that farm system, especially with them giving up Arroyo to the Rays for Longo, I think you might see him up sooner than you think. And I like the production that he might be able to give you there. And I like the fact, too, that when you read about, you know, what his upside is, he's being compared to Buster Posey as far as upside in their farm system. And I don't know when the last time was the Giants have had any prospects to get excited about. So he's a guy in that group that I like as well.
Very good. Should we take our break here, Ben?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Catch you guys on the flip side. All right, welcome back to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball, everybody. We're going to continue scrolling up the top 100 prospect lists here, and we're going to start back at number 70, which is Adrian Morion, left-handed pitcher with the Padres. 69 is Chance Adams, right-hander with the Yankees. A bunch of pitchers in a row here. 68 is Matt Manning with the Tigers. Jack Flaherty comes in at 67 with the Cardinals. Franklin Perez with the Tigers at 66. Then we go to Monty Harrison, an outfielder with the Marlins. Austin Riley, third base prospect with the Braves. Kristen Stewart, number 63, outfielder with the Tigers. Adonis Medina, a right-hander with the Phillies at number 62. And then Ronald Guzman, first baseman with the Rangers.
Yeah, a couple guys to touch on here. Jack Flaherty and Chance Adams, I kind of want to mention those two. They are absolutely boring, boring players.
But
I think
they're
going to be solid. I think these are number three prospect guy or number three starter guys. And I think they're both pretty much ready to be in the majors. So it's just going to be a matter of time before that we see them. So that's a pretty good ranking here outside of your top 50. But guys who could definitely help a team out. Monte Harrison, you brought him up at 65. He had a huge season in 2017. I remember drafting him after he got picked in the Rule 4 draft or whatever, as like my third pick of the supplemental draft, because I knew he was very toolsy. He just kind of festered on my bench in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League. But I had faith and never cut him. And then last year, he ended up in 500 plate appearances, dropping off 21 homers and 27 steals, walked about 8% of the time, hit for a decent average, showed that he really does have the tools. And I mean, we have a potential 2040 guy on our hands here. The problem is the floor is going to be like Keon Broxton. And we saw what happened with him last year in that Broxton got sent down just because the average, the on-base percentage just wasn't good enough. I'm hopeful that Harrison doesn't quite have that downside. And I think he's probably a better hit tool kind of guy. So I think for at least he's going to hit for an okay average, but definitely a riser and a guy I like a lot. I think this time next year, if he repeats, he could be in the top 25 pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm with you there on Monty Harrison. And I think that, you know, when the trade went down with for Yelich, you know, you look at Lewis Brinson kind of being a little bit closer, but I don't think that Monty Harrison's skill set's all that far off. So he's a guy that I'm definitely digging in this next 10. And then a guy I actually wrote about, Jack Flaherty, in the NL part of the my article. It's going to be up probably next week on Big Guy Fantasy Sports. About, I think he's a guy that would be able to help you at some point. But yeah, I'm kind of with you there as far as him kind of being a boring player. I think he's more of a deeper league guy, more kind of the middle of rotation guy. I don't think he's going to be a flashy frontline starter, but I think he's a guy that can get you some innings, get you some quality innings. There may not be a ton of strikeouts, but I think the ERA and the WHIP could be there for him in the middle of that Cardinals rotation. So I also like Kristen Stewart a little bit, and he's another guy with the high K rate, but he can hit the ball a mile. So I think, you know, he's another guy too that when you look at the Tigers, I don't know necessarily if their farm system is all that deep. So I think he's somebody that we might see in 2018 that could give you a little bit of pop potential as well.
Indeed. So moving on to number 60, we've got Dustin Fowler, who is now with the Athletics. 59 is Joe Duplantier, right-hander with the Diamondbacks. 58, Yadier Alvarez, righty with the Dodgers. 57, Jesse Winker, outfielder with the Reds. 56, Ian Anderson, righty with the Braves. J.P. Crawford comes in at number 55, shortstop prospect with the Phillies. Alec Hansen is number 54 for me, righty with the White Sox. Mitchell White, righty with the Dodgers at 53. Carter Kieboom at 52, shortstop with the Nationals. And at 51, Alex Verdugo of Anslove, outfielder with the Dodgers.
Yeah, and there are four guys in this group of 10 that I absolutely love, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about them. Number 60, Dustin Fowler's really kind of grown on me. I think he challenges for an opening day spot, and if he doesn't get it, I think he's up after the Super 2 cutoff, which may not even be relevant since he got hurt in the majors last year. I don't know. But either way, I think he plays quite a bit this year and has some speed and power potential, so I like him a lot. Jesse Winker should be on the opening day roster, played quite a bit last year, but I don't think he beat the Rookie of the Year marks. Well, obviously not since he's on this list, but another guy I really like, should hit for a really good average, walks a lot, may not hit you a ton of homers, but I think the power increase last year is real. Alec Hansen, I think, led the minors in strikeouts last year. He struck out something crazy, like 190 batters in like 95 innings or something absurd like that. And then Alex Verdugo, you mentioned, is my love. He really is my love. I think he's such a very good hitter, pure hitter, that if the power develops, and I think it does in this major league era where everybody can hit for power, he's going to be really good. He's going to get on base. He's going to hit 300. So another guy to watch. This is probably one of my favorite bits of your whole list, is just this 10 player group, just because I like a lot of these guys that may not cost you a fortune to acquire, but I think could really, really help your team.
Yeah, and this is also the Dodgers portion of the list as well. A lot of Dodgers in this little stretch here too. Guy that I really like a lot. I actually traded for him in the Dynasty League off of your team, Nate, is Mitchell White. And we talked about him a little bit when we went over the Dodgers system. And the thing I like about him fantasy wise is I think that he may not have the upside of a Walker Buehler, but I think that he's a guy that you can get at a little bit of a discount that's going to be fairly solid as well. I think he might. He has potential to me to be a little bit more than just a middle rotation guy. K rate's always around 10. I'd like to see him walk a few less batters per nine innings, but did some things at Double A that you like. I don't know necessarily. You know, it seems to me that the Dodgers rotation's a little bit crowded. I don't know where they're going to fit all these guys in at, but I don't think you might see him this year, but he's only 23, so I don't know if they really have a need to rush him along. Another guy I like as well is another Dodgers pitcher, and that's Yadier Alvarez. He's another guy that, once again, don't know where they're going to put him. He's a little younger at 21. He's a little bit more raw, but I think that the upside there is a little bit higher than Mitchell White overall. He made it to Double A last year as well. Walked way too many guys again. He's almost in the few 33 innings that he pitched there, averaged about 7 walks per 9 innings, which is an amazing stat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's not so good when your walks per 9 is only about 2 percentage points behind your K per 9. So got to cut that down a little bit. Cut that way down. But, you know, he's still got time. You know, they can leave him down there at Double A. They can do whatever they want to and keep him down there and cause him to get a little bit more seasoning, as we say. But he's another guy that I think the upside is pretty big with as far as in that Dodgers system.
And real quick note, Alec Hansen in 141 and a third inning struck out 191, which is good for about a 13.5 K per nine. So really good strikeouts on him there.
Very good. All right. Number 50, I think I could be convinced that I have him a little too low. It's AJ Puck, lefty with the Athletics. Number 49 is Luis Urias, second baseman with the Padres. 48, my boy, Jalen Ortiz, outfielder with the Phillies. 47, Jorge Mateo, shortstop prospect with the Athletics. Mike Soroka at 46, ready with the Braves. 45, I've got Francisco Mejia, catcher, question mark, with the Indians. Jones, 44, with the Angels. An outfielder, Michael Baez at 43, ready with the Padres. Allard, a lefty with the Braves at 42. And Cal Quantrill, a ready with the Padres at 41.
Yeah, AJ Puck, I agree. I think he should be higher. He's my love. I really, really like him in the minors this year. Struck out a lot for Oakland. Still walked too many, but I think it's going to get better. And I foresee really good ace upside with him. That said, I get if you're a little lower on him just because the walks weren't quite as there. But he did throw a decent amount of innings. So I think we're really building up to seeing him pitching in Oakland within a couple of years. Mike Soroka for the Braves. I wrote a little bit of a write-up about him as far as prospects whose value came up after last year, and his definitely did. He doesn't really strike anyone out. He's got a K per nine right at 7.32 last year. But don't let that fool you. I think he eventually does strike out more. He's needs to kind of build up his frame a little bit, but his true calling is the walks per nine. He only walks about 2 per 9. So does not give up that many walks and controls the strike zone, controls the running game really well. And a guy I really like, but maybe he's a number two instead of a number three starter like a lot of people are branding him. But I do think the strikeouts come up a bit. Jamai Jones, toolsy Angels outfielder, kind of like Joe Adell, we'll see a little bit later. Has a lot of talent, but it's going to determine if the hit tool develops along with the rest of the talent. So those are three guys I like a lot out of that group here. And I like these top 10 guys. I think you ranked them pretty well.
Yeah, this is another stretch here of 10 guys that I think are extremely talented. And I think that they have pretty high ceiling potential. I'm going to go with a guy we talked about a little bit last year in Michael Baez. Huge guy, 6'8". Needs to eat a little bit. He's only 220 for the big frame there, but he's going to pitch in a great park, as we know, for the Padres. Fastball grades out at a 70. Control is decent. Needs to get a little bit better, but he's putting up some insanely minuscule numbers at the lower levels of the minors. So he's got a little ways to go from where he was at with single A last year, but struck out a whopping 82 guys in 58 innings. As opposed to only walking 8, 192 average against. So he definitely brings it. Guy that I think that has really moved up. I don't even know if he was ranked in the top 100 last year as far as any of the lists we've seen, but he's in there pretty solid. And they're in the middle of the list here. And then another guy that I was looking at this point, and we talked about him on the other podcast a little bit. A guy that I absolutely love is Francisco Mejia. And I think even if he does get moved, you know, like you read about with the lack of, you know, size, him only being 5'10", 180, the bat is there. I mean, we know that the Indians are going to try to find ways to get him in the lineup that, you know, Lenny alluded to. He played third base in Arizona Fall League. So it does hurt him a little bit if he moves to third base. But nonetheless, if you can get any kind of catcher eligibility out of him this year and he's playing third base, to me, that's a definite plus. And I'm holding out hope that they will try to keep him there for that bat. But, you know, like Van and I talked about on the podcast with the catchers, Yan Gomes is pretty good defensively, so I don't know if he's going to unseat him there as well. But I think they're going to get creative and try to find a way to get his bat in the lineup sooner rather than later, which definitely helps you out if you can put him at catcher.
And real quick, I want to point out for you, Nate, a guy that's on this part of the 10 list here is Yelan Ortiz, whom I know
you're going to bring him up.
You're really high on him. So why don't you talk and explain about it? Because I don't know where I've seen him on other lists, but it certainly wasn't this high. So tell us why you like him here.
Yeah, I'm very aggressive on him. I'm definitely in love with him. The first time I watched a video of him, my jaw just dropped as he, it looked like he almost was fooled by a pitch, and then he just like poked it to the opposite field for a freaking home run. And I'm like, wow, this guy is incredible. So yeah, I think now is the time to buy him. I think this year you're going to see him being one of the biggest movers up all these prospect lists. I think that when he eventually gets promoted to AA Reading, which I think will happen this year, that you know, that's just an absolute launching pad, and he's going to do something crazy, like post a 300 ISO, and everybody's just going to be swooning over him. So if he's not owned in your Dynasty League, go pick him up, go trade for him on the cheap if you can. I think he's really going to blow up this year. So let's see, where are we at? 40. We've got Joe Adele with your Angels there, Van. Number 39, we've got Kevin Maitan with the Angels. Mitch Keller, righty, with the Pirates at 38. 37 is Franklin Barreto with the A's. Keston Hira at 36, the second baseman, was just drafted this year by the Brewers. Kyle Wright at 35, righty, with the Braves. Esteban Florial at 34 with the Yankees. Juan Soto, outfielder with the Nationals at 33. 32, I've got Anthony Alford with the Jays. And 31 is Luis Gohara, lefty, with the Braves.
Yeah, and my two Angels back-to-back, Kevin Maitan, Joe Adele. Joe Adele, of course, was signed as the Angels' first-round pick this season. Very much similar vein to Jamai Jones in that he's a very, very toolsy outfielder, but needs to make sure the hit tool develops. I really like him, too. And I've been surprised to see Jones and Adele so close to one another on these lists, because I always feel like Jamai Jones is Joe Adele light. But there's enough talent between both of these guys and enough risk that either one of them could pan out and either one of them could not pan out. Kevin Maitan had a horrible year last year, but was basically the Braves lost rights to him in their big fiasco, and the Angels signed him for a couple million bucks. Really big pickup for them. Don't give up hope just because of the one season last year. He's still really young, and there's potential. Franklin Barreto, I like. I think the luster's kind of fallen off of him a bit, but I think he's still got, you know, 20 home run pop, hits for a lot of doubles, can steal some bases, and is likely to come up and play this year. The main guy I wanted to point out and talk about is Keston Kiura, and I'm kind of fascinated with how he's being ranked, because you see one of two methods. You see a lot of guys say, like, eh, he's really low on my list, like 80th or something or other, and then you see a lot of other guys who've got him really high on the list. I don't get why he's so high. He doesn't really have that much power. He doesn't have much speed. I think the benefit to him is that he's a, you know, a professional hitter, one of those guys who's going to hit for average. But that's it to me. I just don't think the counting stats are going to be there. So I'm not really excited about him. And I think he's a little too high here for my likes. But why do you like him so much, and why do you have him here?
Well, he's pretty close to the majors. Yeah, I don't know if we see him this year necessarily, maybe in September. But I think that, like, if you compare who, you know, Nick Gordon, who might be a second baseman, we'll see. Maybe he's a shortstop, who knows. But with Hira, I think that his approach is better. I think that he'll hit for a better average. You know, a lot of people considered him the best pure hitter in this year's class. And I do think that there's 20-plus home runs in that bat as well. And that's going to be, you know, the separator between him and a lot of other guys that are lower on the list, that in the proximity. So I'm pretty well convinced that Hira is going to be, and I spelled his name wrong here. I should probably correct
Hira,
that.
Yeah.
It's Kira, yeah, not Kira.
Yeah, no, I saw that, and I just said it because I'm like, oh, I'm probably an idiot, and I've been reading it wrong this whole time. So, but okay good.
Nope, that's what you call a typo. But yeah, anyway, that's why I like him.
See, I like him because he's on the all Sean Connery team as well. He's another Keston Hira.
Keston Hira.
See, that's not bad. And this group of guys love me some Juan Soto. Love the tools with Juan Soto. And he was, you know, he's another guy that, you know, he's been at rookie ball. He's been at low A. He's only 19. So definitely has a long way to go, but really shot up the prospect list here. Decent power, decent speed, decent defense, just solid across the board. I don't think there's really a lot that he's going to not be able to do at the next level. And I think the ceiling there is pretty immense. I think he's definitely a top 10 outfield prospect in my book. And then one of the guys that's ranked here as well, I really hope can win a job out of spring training. I think he definitely has the potential to do that. And he got a little bit of a call up last year, and overall the body of work wasn't bad. I'd like to see a couple of the numbers come down, and that's Luis Gohara for the Braves. And you know, we talk a little bit about how deep the Braves system is. I think he's the guy that I like the stuff the most as far as just pure arsenal of pitches with what he's able to do. Grades out pretty high with the fastball. And I think he's one of the few that could win a job sooner rather than later. But, you know, once again, it's with them having this embarrassment of pitching riches, I think that it might be something they try to use to add something. Maybe it is a J2 Real Muto. Maybe it is another bat at another spot. So Luis Gohara is, again, another guy I like in this group of 10 here.
Yeah, Juan Soto is definitely another person to try and buy low. If you got someone who doesn't know what they have on their hands, he's going to be terrific, and he had a really injury-shortened season last year, so the numbers on him definitely don't look good. So I'd be trying to snatch me up some Juan Soto if we could. So moving on to number 30, as we're getting down to it now, the cream of the crop at number 30 is Leody Taveras, outfielder with the Rangers. 29 is Michael Chavis with the Red Sox. 28 is Scott Kingery with the Phillies. Mackenzie Gore comes in at number 27 with the Padres. 26 is Tristan McKenzie. Sticks, as they call him, the righty with the Indians. Sixto Sanchez at 25 with the Phillies. Willy Adames with Ron's Rays at 24. Taylor Trammell, my dude, at 23. Outfielder with the Reds. Royce Lewis of the Twins is at 22. And Nick Senzel, third baseman with the Reds, at 21.
Yeah, and, you know, Scott Kingery, to be honest, I've done a lot more research on him over the last couple of days, and I've lost quite a bit of interest. I still like him, and I think he's going to provide some value. But the more and more deeper that I start looking about this, I question that power influx. He went from hitting, you know, 3 a season to hitting 26 last year at 2 combined levels. So I really didn't think he was going to hit 26 again, but I think under 10 is going to be his number. And with that little power, he's going to have to steal a lot to be able to have value. Stole 29 last year. And it just feels like he's not really going to be one of those, you know, Billy Hamilton-esque steals guys. So I don't think the value is going to be quite as good as a lot of people are putting out. So I'm a little bit down on him more than I was earlier in the season. And I certainly won't be making any trades for him, but I do think he's up within a few years, hopefully this year, and has some value. Mackenzie Gore, I really love at this pick, and I know Ron likes him, so I'm not going to talk a whole lot about him here. Willy Adames is a guy who should be up this year, and he's one of those low or high floor, you know, can't miss prospects who's not going to be great, but should provide some value. I love Royce Lewis at 22. Again, the Twins took a little bit of flack last year for taking him number one overall, but they were kind of proven right after his little sample size in the minors because he was a beast. And then, Nate, I wanted you to talk about Taylor Trammell. You like him a lot. What do you think of him? When do you expect he makes it to the majors?
Oh, boy. I wouldn't expect him until probably mid-next year. At least he does still have plenty of developing to do. I think this is going to be a big year for him though, but I see sort of a Starling Marte starter kit, just a ton of raw speed. He's going to steal a lot of bases, but I think that he's also got the, you know, he's got great, he'll be able to hit for average and I think more power than we've seen from Starling Marte as well. So I'm very optimistic on him. I have him probably as high as anybody because I just think that he's going to be a five-tool contributor. And he's, you know, with the steals in the current climate that we have right now, I think he's going to be really, really valuable. And I could see him being a potential first-round talent.
So you alluded to my boy here, Mackenzie Gore. He's probably one of my top three favorite prospects across the board. Yeah, gonna pitch in a great park. He's overall the number one MLB left-handed pitching prospect, and he grades out well everywhere he's at. You know, we talked about so many of these guys that have these lights out fastballs, but they have no control. His I wouldn't call quite lights out, but it is mid-90s. Throws a curve in the mid-70s, and I think that just overall, you know, 55, 60s across the board. I think he trends definitely with that front of the rotation upside in San Diego there. And I think that, too, once again, I think he's another guy that you'll see sooner rather than later. You talked about another one of my guys, Willy Adames with the Rays. And the thing I like about him is the fact that I agree, Van, he's going to be solid. I don't know if he's going to give you huge stats, but I think that one thing he is going to be able to do is he's just going to be able to flat out hit. And I think he showed that at just about every level. And I also wanted to point out, you know, you got Scott Kingery, Tristan McKenzie is another Sean Connery, all name team as well there in that 20 range.
So what's that put us at? Like five now? Five Sean Kingery?
We got there's one left.
Okay.
There's one left. So
beautiful. So we've gone to the top 20. We've got Lewis Brinson at number 20 with the Marlins now. Number 19, Walker Buehler, ready with the Dodgers. Ryan McMahon at number 18, first baseman with the Rockies. Austin Hayes is number 17, an outfielder with the Orioles. Kyle Tucker at 16, outfielder with the Astros. Luis Robert at number 15, outfielder with the White Sox. I still contend that it should be Robert, but anyway, moving on. Number 14, Willie Calhoun, outfielder with the Rangers. Bo Bichette at number 13 with the Jays. Brendan Rodgers at number 12 with the Rockies, and number 11, Alex Reyes, already with the Cardinals.
So I want to take a moment to read you guys some statistics here. In 2011, a player was called up for their cup of coffee at the end of the season, and this player had 135 plate appearances, hit five home runs, stole four bases, walked 6.7% of the time, and ended up with a triple slash line of 220, 281, 390. Last year, Lewis Brinson came up for a cup of coffee, had 55 plate appearances, two homers, a steal, walked 12.7% of the time, and had an abysmal triple slash line of 106, 236, 277. The original player I was referring to is Mike Trout. So if the best prospect or the best player in baseball can come up and struggle to a similar extent as what Lewis Brinson did, I don't think the panic button is ready here for Lewis Brinson. I'm not saying he's Mike Trout, but I really, really, really like Lewis Brinson. So I think his move to the Marlins hurts his value and that he's going to play in a crappy park with lesser surrounding cast, but it also helps because he may be up opening day, and I think he should be up opening day. And if he is, and if he gets a full season to play and he gets that strikeout total down to his minors numbers of, you know, 18 to 22%, and walks at the 12% rate he did, or, you know, at least 10%, he's going to be an extreme value this year and an absolute stud. I like him as a prospect. This time last year, I think he was top 10, but he kind of dropped a bit after that performance. But I still really believe in him. You've got Ryan McMahon at 18, like him a lot. The one comp I want to make there is a while back, there was a third base prospect for the Rockies coming up that I believed would hit for a good average, never walk, have okay power and play with good defense, and that turned into a perennial top five pick, Nolan Arenado. And I'm not saying McMahon could be Arenado, but I'm saying that going to Colorado will make his power play up. He's not as good defensively, and he's a first baseman, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if he becomes, you know, a next top 20 pick in your standard draft, just because he could be that good in Colorado. Brendan Rodgers is at 12. Immense talent, immense power, likely going to stay at shortstop, at least in the short term. They at least determined he can handle that. Question is can he walk? And he really hasn't shown it, but he has been hitting like 400 every season. So what I would do if I was on the coaching staff of the Rockies is tell him, I don't care what you hit for an average. I need to see you take pitches. We need to see your eye develop. And if he does that, then you've got a perennial 30-homer shortstop on your hands. And then Alex Reyes at number 11 has been a top prospect for the Cardinals for a long time. Coming back after TJ surgery, you're probably not going to get a lot of innings. And to be honest, I don't think you're going to get a lot of good innings this year, because the last thing to come back is control after Tommy John surgery, and that was his issue when he came up. But still a bright future ahead for him, so I still like him a lot too.
And I think in this territory, we start to get to guys that are probably already taken in your dynasty drafts, most likely your dynasty leagues, I should say. And you're getting to guys as well that I think can make some pretty solid contributions to your major league team this year. Also, I think there's three guys in here alone that I wrote about in my article over at BGFS. And so starting at kind of the bottom here, Van, you talked about a couple of them. Ryan McMahon, that Arenado guy turned out to be pretty good, didn't he?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, he's not too shabby. So I, like you said, I don't know if McMahon's along those same lines, but I mean, you got to like him playing at Colorado. I don't really think they're, I mean, his main competition, I think at first base, is going to be Ian Desmond. And I think that, you know, McMahon's got that potential to hit 300, hit for decent home run totals since he plays at Coors. Austin Hayes is a guy that essentially has a job to lose right now. Top 20 prospect in a good situation, in a decent lineup. I think there's a lot to like there in yearly leagues. And obviously if you're able to get him in a dynasty league, he's probably gone. And then Willie Calhoun's another guy that I wrote about that I really like a lot. Going to probably get a job handed to, I don't want to say handed to him. I don't think his route's as easy as Austin Hayes, but I think he's going to be a guy that's going to get a long look and probably will win a job in spring training in the outfield there in Texas. And without further ado, the last member of the Sean Connery all-name team, the bounty hunter, Bobachette at number 13 there, just all-around awesome hitter. You can't say enough about him. And I agree there as well. I think if you have Reyes in any format, it's going to be in a dynasty format that you can stash him, because I don't think you're going to get that many starts, because I don't think they're going to really be forced to bring him along and get a lot out of him. And I think if they do, I think I read a couple of places where he does start out with the major league club, he's going to be in the bullpen anyway. So he's a guy that in a dynasty format, stash him. I don't know how much meaningful major league baseball you're going to get from him.
Fun fact, Bobachette does in fact wear a jetpack underneath his jersey, so there's always the potential that he just flies off into a desert butthole where he presumably dies, but then in the alternative universe he lives. But I digress.
So is that why his speed grades out at 120?
Yeah, exactly. It's because of the jetpack. Right, cool. It just occasionally just goes off. And a flamethrower on his wrist, which is pretty cool.
Did we just nickname Bobachette like the desert butthole?
The desert butthole. I like that.
I'm sure he'll like that as well.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
Let's tweet him and see if it takes off. Between that and the Warhammer for Jordy Mercer, I will have success with nicknaming baseball players.
Very well. And we're down to the top 10, and we'll start with Brent Honeywell at 10 with Ron's Rays. Number 9, Michael Kopech, a righty with the White Sox. Forrest Whitley with the Astros. Fernando Tatis Jr., outfielder with the Padres. Gleyber Torres, number 6 with the Yankees, third baseman. Eloy Jimenez at number 5, outfielder with the White Sox. Victor Robles at number 4, outfielder with the Nationals. Vlad Guerrero Jr., third baseman with the Jays. Shohei Ohtani, I have at number 2. And Ronald Acuna, never heard of the guy, but I put him at number 1.
Yeah, and I don't have a whole lot to say about a couple of these guys. Brent Honeywell should be starting in the majors, but he won't because the Rays are dicks. Tatis Jr., I think, of all the guys on this top 10, has the most risk. I could foresee him flaming out a lot more than a lot of them. Eloy Jimenez, I've said it before and I'll say it again, with the state of power in baseball today, I just don't think he's all that valuable compared to a lot of other prospects. So he'd be a little lower on my list, but he's still a very good player, so I'm fine with him at 5. And then I just wanted to ask, you're one of, I'd say the general consensus is that Ohtani's the number 1 and Acuna's the number 2. I'd say it's probably like a 70% consensus that way. Why are you in the 30% that you like Acuna higher?
Well, it's number 1, I guess. I haven't seen Ohtani yet, and number 2, it's not like I don't believe all the reports and everything, but I think that there, you know, the Angels plan to go to a 6-man rotation for the time being. I don't think Ohtani is going to exactly rack up the pitching stats, you know, so I don't think for fantasy purposes, I think his ceiling is a number 2. I think it's more likely that just because he pitches more like 160 innings, he's more of like a number 3 starter with hopefully really good strikeout rates. His walk rates were a little iffy overseas, so we'll see how that carries over. He might walk a few too many guys and ding some value there. And as a hitter, I really don't think he's going to hit enough to be valuable in any kind of league. So I don't really count him that way for fantasy. Whereas Ronald Acuña, I just think is a borderline generational hitter. There's nothing this guy won't do as far as fill the stat boxes in fantasy. And I just feel so certain that he's going to be an elite hitter and like a perennial first round player that I had to go with that over the relative uncertainty of Ohtani.
And the fact of the matter remains that one or two, it doesn't matter because these are still really good players. And you know you've got a lot of value built in here either way.
Yeah, either way, you're doing backflips if you have either one of these guys.
So let's see here. I think I don't think it really matters who you rank either way. I think that, you know, obviously both of them are going to be up at some point. I think Ohtani's going to be up sooner than Acuña is, but I think that, you know, Acuña is really going to kind of force their hand as far as what he's going to do. And I know that a few weeks ago I heard Braves GM on XM with Jim Bowden, and he asked him flat out, is he going to win a job? And it's one of those things that he basically said, you know, if he comes out and performs, how are you going to keep a guy like that down? How are you not going to bring him up? And so I think they're very open to him making that club or right out of spring training. I think another guy too that I'm hoping I get to see this season is Vlad Jr. Here in Dunedin, when they come to Fort Myers here, just a guy that, you know, looks a lot to me plate approach wise, swing wise, like his dad. Got to see him in a futures game, and he went down and got a couple, and especially in BP that, you know, just were just crap pitches that he just turned on and roped him down the line. So I was impressed with him there. He's a guy that, you know, only 18 years old, so we're not going to see him, I don't think, this season. I mean, you never know, though. I mean, with a lot of these young guys with the potential they have, I mean, you don't see a lot of guys with an 80 hit tool and 65 power and overall 70 grade potential that are sitting down there in the minors. So I think he's going to be a fun guy to watch as far as just what they decide to do with him. And I'm curious too, is if the Jays get to a point where, you know, maybe around the All-Star break or a little after that, they're out of it and, you know, he's tearing it up in the minors, they might say, why the hell not? Let's bring him up. So, you know, Brett Honeywell, once again, a guy that I'm huge on too. I like him, you know, right there with Mackenzie Gore as my favorite pitching prospects. Yeah, it is a little bit of a homer pick, but also, I mean, he throws a complete arsenal of four pitches. He throws them all for strikes, and he's a competitor. You know, he's fiery. He's just fun to watch. And so I don't know necessarily where he's going to fit into that rotation right now. I'm still a little surprised that Jake Odorizzi and Chris Archer are still in Tampa uniforms. There's still a little bit of time for that to happen, but I think one of the things that the Rays do, as we've talked about, is they can kind of afford to wait for the right deal to come along. So I think it's kind of a case of there's just really not anywhere to put him right now. And then, oh, of course, Michael Kopech with the 100-mile-an-hour fastball. It's going to be interesting to see if the control is there and if he can kind of push for a rotation spot out of spring training as well.
And one last thing I wanted to point out is that with your list, you've actually got four starting pitchers technically in the top 10 with Ohtani, Whitley, Kopech, and Honeywell. And, like, for example, I'm looking at the Baseball America top 100 prospect list, and they've got two guys. They've got Whitley and Ohtani. So what was your rationalization for putting a lot of those pitchers ahead of guys like, for example, Bo Bichette, who's in the top 10 for BA, or Nick Senzel, who's in the top 10 for BA?
It's proximity, mostly. I think we see all those guys this year. Whitley, Kopech, Honeywell, all those guys I expect significant innings from at the major league level. Bo Bichette, we're not going to see for a few years. I wanted to get Bo Bichette higher. I love him, but at the same time, I just couldn't push him up any higher. And I mean, that's pretty much it. There's another point that you made, and Nick Senzel. Yeah, I mean, we'll see him soon too. And it's not like I'm low on him. I just don't know if he's a real ceiling guy. Like, I see more of a higher ceiling with a guy like Bo Bichette. But Nick Senzel, I think he's going to be more of like an okay guy across all categories. You know, he doesn't have a ton of speed. He doesn't have a ton of power, but he'll just be very solid and consistent. So it's more of his floor and his proximity that got him to 21, but I just don't love him enough to go any higher than that. Whereas I think like Whitley, I just see flat out ace with him. Love, love, love me some Forrest Whitley, and Kopech could reach that as well. And Brent Honeywell, I definitely has a very high floor. I think he's got a floor of a number three, and he could be a number two as well. So I'm not quite as high on him, but still with the proximity and the floor and a little bit of upside as well, I had to put him in my top 10.
Very good.
All right. Well, that was a quick episode, right? An hour later, we could pretty much split this up into two episodes if we wanted to. But anything else, boys, before we get out of here?
I already forgot what I plugged, but go to Fantrax, read my articles. I wrote an article about the three true outcome players. It was really cool. Underneath the image of the graph is a link you can click and download the spreadsheet that I used to do it, which I created from scratch through FanGraphs, which includes all of the players from the year 2000 to 2017 who I consider three true outcome players. So check that out. The NastyCast, of course, will be coming out the day after this one does, so always check out our NastyCast. And then I just recorded today, which is Wednesday, a brand new podcast with Jeff Zimmerman and Ben Silver of our Fantrax group, and it's a great podcast, so I definitely want you to check it out. It's called the Launch Angle Podcast, and we talk a little bit more redraft stuff. And today we went over starting pitching as a rule of thumb in 2018 and draft strategies. So give that a check out. And as well as with this show, give us rate reviews on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to us on.
Very, very good. You good, Ron?
Yeah, just check me out, BGFS on Deck Circle. Fantastic's getting started up pretty soon. For those of you who wants some off-season football stuff, I'll be on with Bob Long Sunday night. We're going to pick back up with the consistency awards. We'll be talking wide receivers over there. And it's good. It's good to feel that we're down to days until spring training starts, boys. I'm pretty fired up.
Indeed.
Yeah, hopefully some players get signed here in the next coming weeks. And we actually know who the hell we're drafting or who they're going to play for this year. So yeah, I've got to check my workout on Fantrax. I switched jobs, side jobs. I'm going to start working at Razzball. I left Fantistics, and so you can check my work on Razzball starting on Monday. Otherwise, check me at Fantrax. And if you want to, once again, if you want to check out this list online, just check out my Twitter at Nathan Doc, and I'll link to it. It is just a Google Doc, nothing too fancy schmancy, but hey, got the job done. So what are we going to do next week, guys? Huh? Are we going to get back to our, I suppose, previews by team?
I guess we could.
The prospects?
Unless we come up with something better from here to there. So I suppose could we
that's unlikely.
Could we all just eat nacho fries on the air?
I think that's a great idea.
I think we could do that.
We'll do that for half an hour. All right, cool. Catch you guys next week. We're going to eat some nacho fries. See you then.